This happened when I was in college. I lived in Isla Vista, a student community at UCSB, notorious for being a party school, and it fully lived up to its reputation. I like partying, but holy shit, these people were off the wall. As such, there were a lot of students who put themselves in dangerous situations, drinking way too much, not being careful, and forgetting to lock doors, etc. It had a very isolated vibe, and anyone who was hanging around who wasn't college-aged immediately looked out of place. One night after having a few drinks, I came home to my small house where I lived with my two roommates. It was probably around 2:30 a.m. We were all serious students, and when we partied, it wasn't your typical UCSB mega rager, more like a small get-together with friends. We would often have a few people spend the night, sleep on our furniture and our beds, as the case may be. That night, my roommates had somebody over who I didn't know, and I saw that this person was sleeping on the couch. I didn't turn on any lights because I didn't want to wake him up. But as I was passing by the couch to enter my bedroom, I noticed the figure was lying very stiff. He gave off a strange vibe. It was like he was putting all of his energy into being as still as possible. I paused, and the guy quickly jerked his head to face me, without moving his limbs. It was so fast that it startled me. I could see his wide open eyes glinting in the dark. Figuring that I might have startled him, or perhaps he was drunk, or maybe on some kind of stimulant and was unable to sleep, I just hurried past into my bedroom and locked the door. That guy made me nervous, and I wasn't taking any chances. Eventually, I fell asleep. At 4:30 a.m., I woke up. There was a strange sound at the door, almost like somebody was drumming their fingers against the wood. I lay still and listened. There came more sounds, like somebody scratching the door with their fingers, which got louder and louder. It was clear that he was using both hands and scratching as fast and hard as possible. It created an extremely loud and intimidating sound that filled me with fear. I grabbed my phone and texted my roommate. "Hey, your friend is freaking me out. Is he doped up or something? Can you please go out and talk to him? He's banging and scratching at my door." She didn't respond, probably because she was sleeping. I texted my other roommate, but the end result was the same. Keep in mind that the scratching had been going on at this point for a couple of minutes. I have no idea how he could have sustained it. Scratching a wooden door with your fingernails can't feel that good. He also grabbed at the doorknob and tried turning it. Because neither of them answered, I decided to call and wake them up. I know it sounds dumb, but there was something seriously horrifying about being teased like this through the door. I knew that he was trying to scare me, and I felt like a little kid, but I could tell this guy was for something, and perhaps the police needed to be called. I wanted to loop in my roommates though, since it was one of their friends. The scratching stopped abruptly, and I called my roommate, who answered in a tired voice.
Hello?
"Hey, your friend is messed up. Can you please deal with it? He's scaring the crap out of me, and he's scratching at my bedroom door." She didn't say anything for several seconds, and when she spoke, she didn't sound tired at all.
What friend?
"The guy who was sleeping on the couch."
"We didn't have any guys over tonight. Call the police, now."
My adrenaline went through the roof. Before hanging up, I told her to lock her bedroom door as quickly as possible. I realized that I hadn't heard the scratching in a while, and I had no clue where the guy was. Suddenly, I heard a loud banging, at the other end of the house, where my roommates, Lauren and Monica, shared a bedroom. The bangs were followed by the sound of screaming. I quickly dialed 911, as this maniac proceeded to bang against my roommate's bedroom door. Thankfully, they had locked it in time. The heaviness of the blows left no doubt that he was trying to break the door down. I told the operator the situation, and they dispatched two squad cars. The police in Isla Vista are generally used to peeling drunks off the sidewalk and breaking up brawling frat bros, but this was serious, and I think the dispatcher knew how terrified I was from my tone. She stayed on the line with me. At one point, the banging stopped, and everything was silent for a while. When suddenly, I looked down and saw that the intruder had slipped his fingers through the 1-inch gap between the bottom of my door and the floor, and he was just kind of wiggling them around and making this weird growling sound. I screamed and backed away, which I instantly regretted. In hindsight, it would have been so awesome if I just stomped out of his fingers and heard him howling in pain. When the cops showed up, I heard him running and the sound of our sliding glass door opening and closing. He was gone, and the cops never caught him. My bedroom door was covered in these huge gouges that he had made by using a pair of scissors, which he discarded on the ground before he left. What terrifies me the most about this was that I walked right past him. I looked him right in the face. I realize now that he was not trying to sleep. He probably heard me open the door and freaked out because he hadn't realized that somebody else was living there. He was lying so stiff because he was trying to blend into the couch. In the fall of 2010, I decided to go back to college. I was a single mom of three boys, but they were all in school by now, and me going back was finally possible. The school I went to is a regional campus to a very large university, and located in a neighborhood that is known for crime, meth, heroin, prostitution, etc. But it was only a 20-minute drive from my house, and I didn't feel unsafe about going there. My first day there was intimidating. I didn't know anyone, and I was a lot older than most of the other students. I was 28 at the time. I sat down at a table in the back of the room, and a few minutes later, a woman who was around my age sat down next to me. She was very skinny, smelled like cigarettes, she had greasy hair and sunken eyes, but when she started to talk to me, she seemed normal enough. She started off the conversation by telling me that she sat close to me because I was wearing the prettiest blouse in the room. Strange, but as an awkward person, I give a lot of leeway for people who say or do awkward things before I think too much of it. She didn't have a backpack, any books, a pen or notebook, nothing. She said that her financial aid hadn't come through yet, but she didn't want to fall too far behind in class, and asked if I would share my book. I agreed, and gave her a pen and paper as well. After the first class, she asked if I wouldn't mind going with her to the library, so she could scan a few pages from my book to take home. I agreed, and we began to head to the library. She stops and looks at her phone, and says her son just texted her and needs her to come home to do something. She then asks if I could come with her. I tell her that I have another class, and I couldn't go with her. I asked if she still wanted to go to the library first, and she said no, and that she had to get back to her son, but really couldn't go alone for some reason. I was confused, but I kept telling her that I couldn't go with her, and then she starts crying. At this point, we were in a common area outside, with the parking lot on one side and the library on the other. I didn't like being outside, away from people, with this woman anymore. She got really upset and started screaming at me, basically cursing me out. I don't remember how the interaction went exactly, because I was in complete shock by how quickly she transitioned from being friendly to crying and now screaming in my face. I turned around and began heading toward the library. I pulled out my phone and called my friend so that I would have someone else aware of this lady if she tried to do anything more than just scream at me. I get to the library doors and watch her. She was now standing at the edge of the parking lot. A car then pulls up next to her. The man who was driving was obviously upset with the woman. They were arguing, but I couldn't hear them from where I was. Eventually, she gets into the car and leaves with him. The next day I was dreading class because I didn't know what this woman's attitude would be the next day. But she wasn't there. In fact, she never came back to class. Looking back, I'm fairly certain that she wasn't even a student there, and for whatever reason, she was trying to lure me away. I wish I knew what her intentions were, but at the same time, I'm glad that I never had to find out. This happened when I was attending university, when I was 18 years old. I made an effort to make a lot of friends after I moved onto campus and ended up with a few groups to hang out with. I even had a girlfriend. Students would usually have lunch in the cafeteria in pairs, three at the most, and I wasn't very picky about who I had lunch with, because like most people in class, we were all trying to make an effort to be social. A girl named Lily asked me if I wanted to eat lunch together after class. I didn't have any reservations about it. We made small talk about school and whatnot. After that day, she kept asking me to get lunch with her. It became a pattern, and there wasn't exactly a way to start saying no. At the time, I didn't mind, but this did mean I lost the chance to eat lunch with my other friends. In hindsight, I suppose that was the point. One day after class, somebody asked me if I could add them on social media. It was kind of a new thing back in those days. This happened right in front of Lily. I saw her face jerk toward me from a few seats over. It was such a sharp reaction that it was hard for me to ignore. By the time I got home later that day, Lily had sent me a friend request. We had no friends in common, and I don't know how she knew my last name. I was a bit surprised, but I guess she had just dug through the university's social media pages and found me there. It gave me a strange feeling, but what's the worst that could happen? She ended up messaging me nonstop and commenting on everything that I posted. I told myself that she was just socially awkward, but whatever. I've known worse people, or so I thought. She still always got me to eat lunch with her. Other than that, we rarely spent time together in person. I saw her around sometimes, but I never went out of my way to go hang out with her, so it was mostly online messaging and seeing each other at lunch. Coincidentally, my girlfriend was also named Lily. This was something that clearly bothered the other Lily. She occasionally hinted that she wanted my girlfriend to pick a different name, or joked about her name not suiting her. She obviously didn't like my girlfriend at all, and I had an idea of why. It was hard to ignore by this point. Lily was starting to subtly hint that she had a crush on me. I tried not to address it because what was I going to say? I've never known what to do when a friend makes a pass at me. I was also not interested in dating her at all. Even ignoring the weird stuff she pulled, Lily was just not my type. She tended to dress and act like a 1950s housewife and one of those adults who is still obsessed with Disney princesses, if you can imagine that. Things took an uncomfortable twist on the day of our last shared class of the year. Instead of asking me out to lunch, like she usually did, Lily asked me if I could go walk with her. Again, I didn't know how to refuse. Our campus was bordered by a large patch of woodland. Lily led me into the woods. The sounds of our fellow students slowly faded away. She sat down on a log, and I reluctantly joined her. She began talking about how she was going to miss me over the summer. I tried my best to placate her, but honestly, I didn't want to be there, especially because she seemed to be on the verge of tears. I think I tried to make an excuse about having plans with my girlfriend, but before I could leave, Lily kissed me without warning. It was uncomfortable, to say the least. I got out of there, and I was happy to think that I wouldn't be seeing her for a while. I came back to university after the summer break. I had moved into a house with some of my friends. Without getting too much off topic, there were some serious issues with this group of friends. There was a lot of petty arguing going on, and worse. I also broke up with my girlfriend around the start of the school year, and basically, this entire mess made me recontextualize things with Lily, because it suddenly didn't seem like a bad idea to socialize with her. With that said, I still did not want to be alone with her. We mostly talked online. It was around this time that I began dating a guy. Lily was not pleased to hear about that news. I think she hoped to sneak in after I broke up with my girlfriend. But as I said before, that was never going to happen. There wasn't a big gap between my breakup and this new relationship, so she must have thought that she missed her chance to be with me. This is where the story gets bad. At the time, I was fairly active on Tumblr. I would occasionally talk about my life, and mostly reblogged photos and stuff. I was on there one day when something odd happened. One of the blogs I followed messaged me. I saw a screenshot of somebody asking this completely random person to analyze my about section, and then asked their opinion on the type of person who would write it. I cannot stress to you how bizarre and completely out of left field it was to see someone trying to study me like a character in a book. The reply was basically, I don't know, sorry. But the important thing was that the question hadn't been anonymous. Obviously, I wanted to know who had taken such a bizarre interest in me. No prizes for guessing who was behind it. What I discovered was like a shrine. It was a cutesy pink and red page. There were a few posts about Lily's interests, but most of the content was focused on me. Most of the blogs were about me, chronicling things I had done recently, as well as references to things from as far back as I had known Lily. It was clear that she had been keeping tabs on me, both online and offline, gathering up every scrap of information she could about my life and filing it away in her collection. She talked about us eating lunch together and how special our dates were, as if it was something more than just acquaintances getting food after class. She talked about the time that she kissed me in the woods, but she made it sound like it was mutual. She quoted lyrics from my favorite songs and talked about how she would always be there for me, no matter who else came into my life. Lots of references to loving me just the way I am. Things got worse. There were a lot of posts about my boyfriend. These were clearly psychotic. They talked about how he didn't deserve me, and he didn't know what he had, and that if she was with me, she would be jealous of anyone else who came near me. I don't like thinking about what kind of person would write so obsessively about their fixation on me. One thing that didn't make sense initially was that the blog also referenced Lily's best friend, Steven. She had never mentioned this person to me before. Her post talked about how Steven was such a great friend, and how they had so much fun together, and he would always look out for her, etc. I was trying to work out if this Steven was an online friend, when one specific post made it all click. Steven sent this to me. He knew that I would love it. The problem was, the photo was taken from my own page. She was claiming that this fictional best friend of hers shared it with her. So in her messed up fantasy life, she split me into two people. I was both the perfect best friend who was always looking out for her, and her soulmate who was bound to end up with her when I finally got over my boyfriend and all these other easy girls I hung out with. Believe it or not, Lily had an audience. She asked open questions about me in regards to her relationship with me, and got comments from her followers, people who took what she said at face value. I saw a bunch of random people agreeing with her and enabling her stalking behavior. Lily had constructed this fake, intricate fanfiction version of my life for anyone to share their opinion on, and she made herself out to be the hero. I went maybe a month back into this page's history. I did not look at everything that was there. Frankly, it made me sick. I'm not sure how long this had been going on for. I messaged Lily and confronted her about her f***ed up little stalker shrine, and she said nothing. I cannot stress to you how weird it was to have found pages and pages dedicated to me, with her talking about how she was in love with me and would make sure that we ended up together, creating this messed up fantasy with two different versions of me in it. And when I confronted her, she acted like it never happened. She eventually deleted the page, or at least changed the name so that I couldn't find it. No way was I ever going to hang out with her again, but we still shared a class, and she was starting to scare me with what she might do next. I'm a paranoid person by nature, so knowing that someone was obsessively keeping track of me for who knows how long freaked me out. The next thing she pulled was trying to seduce my boyfriend. It was an absolutely useless attempt that only made him feel awkward. He told me about it right away. What was her plan there? Did she hope that he would cheat on me with her and then wait for me to break up with him? When that dumpster fire of a plan failed, she tried hitting on three of my other friends. None of them took the bait. She ended up dating one of my former roommates for a while, but made sure to send me messages while they were together, letting me know that she would rather be with me. Bleh. No thanks. Lily made sure to stay in my life the entire time I was at that university. There was a time when I tried to pull away from her, and that's when she started rumors about me, which damaged career opportunities that I had put a lot of work into. I don't know what else she did behind my back, but it made me realize it was safer to let her think that she was part of my life rather than doing something that would cause her to get angry. After I graduated, Lily was still trying to claw her way back into my life. I almost stopped posting on social media entirely by this point. Of course, she didn't give up that easily. She tried to start conversations. I usually just ignored her. I didn't like to think how she was still tracking me online. The last time we had a real conversation was when she messaged me out of nowhere, and thinking about what transpired makes my skin crawl. But I'll summarize what happened. She started asking me very personal questions about my sexuality. I really didn't want to talk about that with her, but I told her some basic stuff. Then she changed the subject and began talking about how would I feel if she was a boy. There was something seriously wrong with this girl. I tried telling her not to pull this crap with me, but she responded by sending photos of herself, followed by a bunch of messages, maybe 4 or 5 a minute, way too fast for me to reply before the next one arrived, basically quoting back what I had told her about myself as if she was role-playing as me, trying to absorb my history like some kind of parasite. I cut off all communication with her after that. I eventually deleted her from all of my social media pages, which was the only real way she had of contacting me now. I really thought that she might have finally moved on, but only a few days ago, she sent me another friend request. It's sitting there unanswered, because I know that if I delete it, she'll only send another one. For some perspective, Lily and I first met nearly 12 years ago. This story here is just the highlights, and even then, it's only the stuff that I know about.